This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
The United States has 2.2 million people in prison with an annual cost of $80 billion. A major report released by the National Research Council in 2014 documented that the tripling of the prison population since 1980 was produced by changes in policy, not crime rates.
Joining us now is Mark Maurer. He's executive director of the Sentencing Project, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit that works for sentencing reform. He's proposing a way to relieve the prison system by capping the maximum prison sentence for most offenders at 20 years in state and federal prisons. Mark, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Before we get to your solution or partial solution to the problem, the United States has more people incarcerated, I understand, than any other country. Can you talk about how we got here and what it costs us?
Well, it's true that it was largely changes in policy over the last 35 years or so that produced this world record prison population. Essentially, policies made at the federal level, Congress and all states, to send more people to prison and keep them there for longer periods of time. So variously, it's gone under names of mandatory sentencing, truth in sentencing, three strikes and you're out, the impact of the war on drugs and vastly increasing the number of drug offenders in prison. It's been a very conscious strategy. Nobody, legislators set out and said, let's create mass incarceration, but they did say, let's get tough, and the way we're going to get tough on crime is to put more people in prison.
Well, the idea is that the risk of going to prison would be a deterrent to most forms of crime, and that having the people who committed those crimes in prison means that they aren't out committing more crimes. So is this an effective method of crime reduction?
Well, it, you know, prison has some effect on crime, of course. If you have 2 million people behind bars, you're bound to be preventing some crimes. But, you know, a lot of what happens depends very much on who we lock up in prison. You know, think of two offenders. One is a serial rapist who's terrorizing a neighborhood. The police catch him. He's convicted in court, sent to prison. We've put one person in prison, but we've had some real effect on crime. Another offender is a kid on the street corner selling drugs. The police come by. They do an undercover buy from him, convict him being a drug seller, send him off to prison, too. In this case, we've also sent one person to prison, but what happens back on that street corner where he was picked up? Well, in most neighborhoods where people are selling drugs, it's going to take about 20 minutes until somebody else steps up to try to meet the demand for drugs in that neighborhood. So we don't have the same effect every time we send someone to prison, and increasingly we've been sending less serious people to prison. We've been sending people to prison for whom we could respond in other ways, and incarceration is very expensive. You know, we have to think about what else could we do with some of that money.
Well, let's get into an idea you wrote about just earlier this month, I think it was, the idea of, for most, not quite all, but most offenders, a maximum sentence you'd like to see at the federal and state level, a maximum sentence of 20 years. Why make the case for that?
Well, one of the many reasons that we have mass incarceration now is at the deep end of the system, the use of life imprisonment, we've also set new records there. So today, one of every nine people in prison nationally is serving a life sentence, 160,000 people, some of them with the possibility of parole, some would never get out on parole. In addition to that, there are many people serving virtual life sentences. These are sentences of 40, 50, 60 years that essentially mean these people never get out. And yes, the vast majority of these people have committed serious crimes, but the problem is we know from scientific research over many generations, people age out of crime. There's sort of a spike involvement in crime in the late teens, early 20s. This starts to decline quite sharply by the mid to late 20s. Essentially, people grow up, they take on adult roles and the like. So the 20-year-old sent to prison, whether it's for stealing a car, committing a robbery, by the time he's 30, 35, 40, if he has a long sentence, is much less of a risk for public safety than that younger person was. So what happens with these very long sentences is that for each succeeding year we keep somebody behind bars, we're preventing less crime, and we're doing it at increasingly greater cost. Certainly when we get up to the point where people are 50 and 60 years old, increasing costs of health care can double or triple the annual cost of incarceration as well. So from a public safety point of view, from a fiscal point of view, sentences of more than 20 years are generally very counterproductive.
Talking to Mark Maurer from the Sentencing Project about part of the solution, he says, to too many people being incarcerated in the United States, cap the maximum prison sentence at 20 years for most offenders. And you make the case in that piece I referenced, Mark, that we're losing something when we're paying for, especially those older inmates you just mentioned, that's resources that could be better spent maybe with prevention programs, addiction treatment, things to help people not commit crimes that would be less expensive in the long run.
Yeah, well, you know, resources are finite. As you pointed out, we're spending $80 billion a year on the prison system. There are a range of ways that we deal with public safety. Public safety is a function of good schools, it's good job opportunities, it's good cultural programs, good health care, and also a criminal justice system. And what's happened over the last several decades is that we've put enormous resources at the back end of the system into incarceration and really robbing communities of resources at the front end. So how do we better invest with families and communities to give them the skills, to give them the services and opportunity to produce better outcomes for public safety? You know, we have a tremendous shortage of substance abuse treatment programs. We have a tremendous shortage of mental health programs in the community. All of these kinds of issues, not the sole cause involved in crime, but they're certainly contributing factors. And if we could begin to reduce the excessive incarceration we have, divert resources to more proactive, more preventive measures, we'd have better outcomes for public safety overall, and we'd avoid so many of the harms that come through excessive incarceration as well.
Is anybody around the world doing this kind of thing, this 20-year-ish maximum sentence?
Well, in most other industrialized nations, I think it's fair to say they look at U.S. policies with a great deal of shock and outrage. The United States is virtually the only industrialized nation still maintains the death penalty. Our use of life imprisonment dwarfs that of any other nation. You take a country like Norway. Norway sets a maximum of 21 years in prison for any offense. And just a few years ago, there was that horrendous crime, that man named Anders Breivik, who shot and murdered 77 people one afternoon in Oslo, many of them young people. He was sentenced to the maximum of 21 years in prison. The way it's set up in Norway is that after that period of 21 years, if a person is still believed to be a danger to public safety, they can be held for 5 years and then reviewed again for an additional 5 years. So they have mechanisms in place to consider risk and public safety, but the general approach, cultural approach that they have is that 21 years is a long period of time in a person's life, and in the vast majority of cases, the risk to public safety is very much diminished by that point.
And if the United States were to do something like this, as you'd like to see it happen, would we have a similar policy in place where there might be a review? I think you mentioned in your piece the case maybe of a unrepentant serial rapist who refuses any kind of treatment. Might be somebody who would stay longer than that 20 years in that case.
Right. You could set up various mechanisms. You know, today in most states we have parole boards which are considering questions like this on a regular basis, taking into account risk assessments, doing it in a scientific manner, in a qualitative manner, looking at these issues. So you could have some mix of a parole board or a mix of mental health professionals reviewing these cases. I think it would be the exceptional case that would require this additional amount of time to be incapacitated. But right, the extreme cases where a person is so clearly a risk to the community, in those cases, you could identify them and try to deal with that. But I think the vast majority of cases, after 20 years, we could safely have them back in the community. It also suggests, I think, that, you know, we want to be thinking more about people returning to the community, whether people go to prison for stealing a car or committing an armed robbery or anything in between. You know, we know that 95% of the people who go to prison are coming home someday. So regardless of how much time they're spending in prison, it behooves us to try to figure out what can we do while the person's incarcerated? What do we do in that transition back to the community to reduce the risk of reoffending? And that's not a liberal or conservative point of view. That's a very practical approach to saying, you know, we need safe communities. We need to care about what goes on inside prison if we want to improve public safety.
We're talking with Mark Maurer. He's executive director of the Sentencing Project, about his proposal for a maximum state and federal prison sentence of 20 years for most offenders.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this proposal for a 20-year maximum prison sentence? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our conversation with Mark Maurer, Executive Director of the Sentencing Project, about his proposed minimum prison sentence of 20 years.
That maximum prison sentence of 20 years, we want to hear what you think of it at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this proposal, this idea of capping prison sentences, federal and state, for almost all offenders at 20 years at most? Have you experienced the correction system as an inmate, a corrections officer yourself? What do you think of this idea? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Jim is with us in Wisconsin Dells. Jim, hi.
Hi. Glad to be able to talk to you folks. I was part of the system from the inside as an inmate, although we're called patients at the time, residents. There was a program in the 70s that rather than going to prison, we were sentenced to Central State Hospital, which was a mental facility. And although it basically was run as a prison, the staff was controlled not by a warden, but by a psychiatrist and so on, social workers. And we had constant reviews. As a matter of fact, by law, our case had to be reviewed every 11 months. We went before a review board, and they would either let you go or they would extend you for another 11 months. So the 20 years is fine, but you don't need that. I think you just need a system that regularly deals with people and reviews them on a constant basis. A year at a time is really a long time for
Interesting.
Someone to be working if they're truly being rehabilitated. Plus, one more comment. A crime is not the means that you should judge someone for going away. It should be the fact that he's done something wrong. He's done something antisocial. And regardless of what the crime is, that person needs treatment and should not. Don't sentence them based on whether he robbed a bank or shot someone. The guy messed up. He's going to go. He needs to be away.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. A lot there to get into, Mark. First of all, his idea that, like at a psychiatric hospital, then maybe the idea of regular reviews of a particular inmate. It sounds like it'd be a lot of work and a lot of judgment calls, though. It might be hard to implement, Mark. What do you think?
Well, we are making judgment calls in the system all the time, and I think he's right. You know, people can change fairly quickly. I know when I go into prisons and meet with inmates there, you know, there are many people who've been, you know, running around with the wrong crowd out on the streets. They get in prison, and it's not a nice place to be, but some of them are able to reflect on their lives and thinking about it and can make changes, you know, within the first couple of years that they're there. And so, you know, we should be looking very carefully at how people go about making changes, what kinds of services we can offer to give them, the skills they need to make it on the outside, and, you know, thinking about, you know, if the goal is to get people going home, you know, how can we do that the most efficient way possible? And I think in order to make that decision, you know, we do need regular reviews. Not everybody needs to be in a psychiatric hospital, of course, but whatever the institution is, we should be staying on top of that to see what kind of progress people are making. And also, there's a real deficit of programming in most prison systems, too, and our legislatures need to pay attention to that as well. You know, putting people in a prison cell, not providing services, doesn't help anybody.
Mental health services you're talking about?
Well, mental health services, but it's also drug treatment, it's anger management, it's educational programming, vocational training. It's a range of things, and obviously we want to individualize it depending on the person's needs.
Jim, thanks for that call and for sharing your experiences. We'll go to Kevin in Verona now. Kevin, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I think the 20-year sentence cap is a really great idea, but to me it seems not even remotely close enough with regard to change that needs to happen in the quote-unquote criminal justice system. I think, you know, if we did do that cap, we'd have more money to spend on people that need help in probation and things like that. For example, I spent some time in the probation system. I didn't spend any time in jail or prison, but the probation agents were way overworked, and they had too many cases, and they couldn't give the attention they needed to each individual case, and I was held on probation much longer than I should have been because of the lack of workers. But also, beyond that even, we have so many things that are crimes based on some ideological standpoint or religious belief that really has no practical scientific reason for being a crime. For instance, so many drugs that are illegal that really all the evidence shows them being illegal is more harmful than what the drug might actually do to an individual, family, or society. And I think our entire system needs more or less a complete overhaul, but I really do appreciate that somebody is making a call for at least some sensible scientific data-related policy changes like 20-year sentencing.
Kevin, thanks a lot for the call. Mark Maurer from the Sentencing Project. More resources into a probation type of situation where you're supervising a person but not having them in a prison.
Yeah, well, I think he's absolutely right. You know, when probation began, you know, well over 100 years ago, the idea was very much a person didn't need to be behind bars, but the probation officer would help them gain the skills they need, the connections, the peer networks, and the like. It was supposed to be, you know, providing services, helping people get back on the right path. Today, because the whole justice system has exploded so much, so many probation officers have very high caseloads, and in far too many situations, all they're doing is really supervising people and checking through. So they have them come in, they do a drug test, and they make sure that they're working or in school, wherever they're supposed to be, but they have much less time and resources to make up for those deficits in people's skills and all that. So if we could shift resources, if we could cut back on the numbers of people don't need to be in prison or on probation, then we could do more intensive work. We could do more constructive work all around. And, you know, we're sort of caught in this vicious cycle right now, and it's time to really think about how to reverse that pattern.
And he mentioned a changing drug policy. Briefly, is that part of the solution here?
Well, you know, there's a debate going on about our drug policy, you know, ranging from we have to keep sending a tough message and have record numbers of people in prison with drugs, and legalization and decriminalization on the other end. I think there's an awful lot we could do towards moving to a more public health model. Whether or not anyone believes in decriminalization or legalization, we could do things much more appropriately. Right now, we have mandatory penalties that apply to a lot of drug offenses. You can talk to judges around the country who will give you cases over and over of people they were obligated to sentence to prison for 5, 10, 20 years who they believed were not deserving of so much time, or society didn't need that, but these mandatory penalties that apply frequently in drug offense require them to do so. So we really need to look at an overhaul of how we think about punishment, how do we individualize our approach to offenders. And yes, we want to shift much more to prevention and treatment when it comes to substance abuse. And it's also a question of economic opportunity. Some people are selling drugs, but not drug users themselves. And in many low-income communities, unfortunately, it's become viewed as a source of economic opportunity when there are not many other options around.
We'll take another caller now. We've got Jacob on the line in La Crosse. Jacob, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
What do you think?
Well, I think that the 20-year maximum sentencing is a terrible idea. A lot of these guys, I worked in the prison system in a maximum security institution for 7+ years, and I've seen a lot come and go, and a lot of guys come in with the idea that when they get back out, they're just going to go back to the lifestyle that they had, whether that be the life of crime or selling drugs or dealing with hardcore narcotics. I think that releasing people from prison on a mandatory maximum sentencing just gives the criminal aspect the idea that it doesn't matter what the crime they commit, that they're going to get out no later than 20 years. And if they have a shabby life on the street anyway, it's not going to affect their judgment at all.
Jacob, thanks for the call. So, Mark, as we wrap up, this will be a worry for a lot of people, that it'll lower the deterrent factor of prison and it's going to put hardened criminals back on the streets.
Well, we shouldn't discount how long 20 years is. You know, think back what we've been doing for the last 20 years in our lives. That's, you know, a good part of a lifetime. And I think there's not too many people who say, oh, what the hell, I can just do 20 years, be back out on the streets. I think if we give them incentive to pick up skills, to think differently, the vast majority of people are capable of changing their lives around and doing something constructive when they get out.
Jacob, thanks for the call. And Mark Maurer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Mark Maurer. He's the executive director of the Sentencing Project, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit that works for sentencing reform. We've been talking about his proposal, and we've got a link to a piece he wrote about a maximum federal and state prison sentence of 20 years.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. News is coming up next on Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.